This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Folks, welcome to another prospect interview here on the No Ceilings NBA YouTube channel. I am Maxwell Baumbach, and today I am joined by one of the most interesting and exciting prospects coming up here in the 2023 NBA Draft. Washington State's Mohammed Gay. Mo, how are you doing today?
I'm great. I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing great. I'm really excited to talk to you. You were a guy that I feel like I was kind of sleeping on a little bit as a prospect. And I tweeted the other day, I was doing a film dive and I was like, man, this guy's better than I gave him credit for. And then as soon as I tweeted it out, I had all these people like associated with Washington State, whatever, hitting me up and being like, oh, he's a great guy. He's putting in the work. He's getting so much better. And then ended up being able to link up with you and get you on the show. So we're super excited to have you here. So the first thing I always like to ask is, because we get a lot of people that start coming to our website, coming to our YouTube channel around the time of the draft, and they're people that are just NBA fans and they've never even seen some of these people play before. So how would you describe your game to someone who's never seen you play before?
Describing my game, I would say I do a lot of everything. Last season, Washington State put me in a position to have the ball a lot, so I was able to make decisions, like either I'm aggressive, either I pass the ball or organize the offense. So I would say I do a lot of everything on the game.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, he is around 6'11", very versatile. You measured with a big wingspan, too, at the combine, right? Wasn't your wingspan close to 7'4"?
He was 6'3 and a quarter or something like that.
Yeah. So big, versatile player. Really, really interesting. So how did you get into basketball growing up? Because if I'm not mistaken, I believe you grew up in Senegal, right?
Yeah, I grew up in Senegal, West Africa. Was a soccer player my whole time there. Mm-hmm. I was 14, 15. But we have to say that my brother played basketball.
Okay.
To play too. But I was more into the soccer side, you know, because I was really skilled. Senegal, like, it's a soccer country. You were born the next day, you know, like, everybody give you a soccer ball. So playing soccer till I was 14, then start picking basketball a little, going with my brother, watching him play, you know, having a ball back home too. And I had cousins who was born in here. He played at Rice. He saw me too. He was like, yo, you need to start. My cousin who went overseas playing in Spain and all that, Sweden and all that. So it was like, yo, you got to start. You know, you're pretty tall. But that was being told by all my friends. That's how I picked it up. I had a coach. My brother took me to a camp. A coach named Coach Dom. He was a national team assistant coach. He was my first coach. That's my first time training basketball, really. Trained there for a year. Then next thing you know, Sal Mamadou, he's a coach from France. He was like, yo, I think you can be a good player. Like, I think you have potential to play in the NBA. That's how I ended up in Prolific. I was there my sophomore and junior year. Then I graduated early for Washington State.
Yeah.
Went there, played there freshman and sophomore year. Now I'm here.
Yeah, that's crazy. That is very fast to go from like not even experienced to playing Division I to now like a guy who is projected to go in the draft. Like that is a very, very quick turn of events.
It was very fast.
Was there anything that you feel like you gained from playing soccer that carried over into basketball?
Yes. I was playing midfield, so I would say the vision. Mm-hmm. Definitely is the same. Like you see things. And I think that helped with my passing. Also, I think the footwork.
Absolutely.
I think that's one of my biggest strengths, my how I move my feet. And I think that helps a lot, the footwork. Mm-hmm.
So what was the biggest adjustment for you? Not only, obviously, like you go from just starting basketball to playing at one of the top high schools in the country to Washington State. What were the biggest adjustments for you on the floor and off the floor? in terms of like, now you're moving, now you're playing organized basketball at a super high level. You're in a completely different country. Like, I'm always just so blown away by the guys that, that just moving to a different country is like a huge adjustment, but then also like you're just getting thrown into the deep end basketball wise too.
And it was crazy too. My high school year, I had Jalen Green, Nimari Burnett, Coleman, Frank, Mongo, and Mike. He was all in the same team. I was like, yo, this is my first taste of high school. I thought all the high schools was like that. Little do I know, it was way different. I adapted pretty quick. I don't know how I adapted, because that was my first time playing organized basketball ever. But I adapted really quick, started playing, you know, like a month and a half until when I got here. A month and a half later, started playing with the team, started playing in games. We played, I remember my first game I played was in Arizona against Beauchamp. Namari hit the game winner. It was crazy. That was my first game I played ever.
That's so wild. That it's like your first game and you're like on the floor with like multiple NBA players.
Yeah. It was crazy. But then I was just trying to learn, having trouble because the language barriers was, I was not speaking good English when I first got here. So I was speaking okay English. So it was hard to communicate with defense and all that. So, but I think besides that, just moving with the whole different, because I had a family. And thank God they helped me a lot. And being around helped me on everything. But I would say definitely the people and the food are the
difference. Is there like a food that you miss the most, like being here that you just can't get?
Oh, yeah, my mom's food. For sure, my food with my mom, that's the thing I miss the most.
Absolutely.
But here and there, if I go to New York, like now I'm in Atlanta, I can go to the spot real quick, get some food.
Nice. But
my mom's food for sure.
That's a good answer. She's gonna like that one too, so I'm sure she'll appreciate that. So what led you to Washington State during the recruiting process? Like, what made you ultimately decide to go there?
Man, so it was during COVID year. So I go have in-person visit. So all my visits was Zoom visits, all of them. So I had Wazoo, I had UCLA, Rutgers, Kansas. I had all the schools, but the Wazoo one made more sense because where I'm coming from is like, I didn't play a lot. I didn't play a lot of games. So I'm aware that I can compete to play right away and not wait. For instance, like, say I go to UCLA, they bring a five-star. Even though I'm going to be competing, I will play. But, you know, it's different when you just started and you're not from here. It's a lot. So I was like, I'm going to go to Wazoo. I had my guy SA there. I was like, I'm going to go there, prove myself, and earn me a spot. Then I did. Then, thank God, it worked pretty well.
Yeah, it did. It did. So you got on the radar pretty quickly as a freshman. Like, you kind of came a little out of nowhere. Like, you were a top 100 recruit, but it was sort of back end. Like you said, you weren't a guy who was getting a ton of minutes and stuff in high school. It was mostly just like, and then all of a sudden, like, you have a really, really solid freshman season. And then you got the NBA Combine invite last year. You played at the Combine. You were really good. And it was one of those things that was just like, oh man, like, this guy's serious. Like, he kind of came out of nowhere and he's really on the map. What did you take out of the NBA Combine experience last year, and what kind of feedback did you get? And then what ultimately led you to decide to go back for a second year?
I took a lot, and just going through the draft process, you know, working out with teams, seeing pros work out, it just gives you a taste that, like, you have to do this to be better or to get to that level. So I took that with me, and also, you know, just competing against your peers. Like, I'm not from here. I've been here, like, but from then, it was like 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
I was back home. I see people like, oh, this he going to be this in the league. He going to be that in the league. Then you go against them. It was like, oh, hold on. I'm pretty good if I go against them. Go like that, you know? So just going there, competing against them, and seeing where your level is. Seeing that, you know. Because I'm not from here. Obviously, I'm not going to get the same politics, but If I was a long time, it would be a different story.
Mm-hmm.
So just having that confidence with you going back to the whole draft process, I think that's where I get the most confidence in what it takes to be good.
For sure. And it showed up on the film. I feel like that you were a much more confident and much more assertive player in your second year, especially down the back half of the season. Yeah. So let's kind of get into your game a little bit. So obviously, like, one of the biggest things that jumps out about you is there aren't a lot of guys that have your fluidity, your mobility at your size. Like, there's just not a lot of guys that move like you do. But I thought the other thing that was a noticeable jump to me was it seemed like you got a lot stronger and you were a lot more willing to engage physically this year than last year. Like, this year felt like, oh man, this guy's like kind of a force on the glass. And I didn't get that freshman year. So can you talk about those changes a little bit? Because obviously you got a lot stronger, but you didn't lose anything as far as how you move either.
Yeah. So that was my biggest thing coming back. It was like, yo, I need to get stronger for sure. Because I know how it went last year going against and I know what was coming this year too.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my main focus, honestly, just get stronger and not lose like how I move or my handle or nothing. So the off season was pretty tough. Got Coach Shaw, he was giving me smoothie all the time. Zach, there was Coach Smith, there was on my ass, like, oh, you gotta Then it kind of showed. I played like 212, 213. Something like that. And a freshman, I was 193 when I first got
there.
Mm-hmm. So I put in like 18 or 19 pounds, something like that. So that was definitely a big change. And it helped me too. It helped me with the injuries, like getting stronger, less injury.
Yeah.
A lot more. And, you know, I'm more durable. I don't think I miss any game the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And do you feel like that helped you just from a confidence standpoint too, to know that like, cause to me where it showed up most was your rebounding. Like, you were a lot better, especially on offensive rebounds this year. Like, were you feeling like more confident too? Like, I know I can go in there and get this ball.
Yeah, definitely. I felt like every offensive rebound, I could get it. Honestly, that was my mindset. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Even if they're boxing out, I'm gonna find a way. Like, you gotta find a way. That's what they always say. Find a way to get it. Find a way to get it. Obviously, they big bodies in the Pac-12. The fives are, you know, really strong. Like my boy Dante, Adem, and all them. But
yeah, Dante's good.
Yeah, you just gotta find a way. And that was my mindset. I was like, yo, I'm tall enough, and now I'm strong enough. They cannot stop me getting to an offensive rebound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so another area of your game that I think makes you really interesting is because of how you move. You're going to be able to cover multiple positions and things like that. But I think you really showed a lot more as a shooter and as a passer over the last couple of years too. So, you're shooting around 28% from three, which is a really good number for a big man your age. And you shot free throws a lot better this year. You went from 49% to about 67%. So could you talk a little bit about that jump as a free throw shooter and then also just your jump shot as a whole, because you're not somebody that like teams can leave open on the perimeter, which is not something that's common in big men, for one, and two, not something that's common in big men who kind of have the defensive versatility that you do.
Man, I'm still pretty mad about my free throw. I was like, damn.
still like, not good enough. You went up 20-some percent, and you're like, nah, not
terrible. I was really mad at myself because I knew and everybody on the team knew that, oh, he's a better shooter than that.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it was just my being a freshman figuring it out. But I was pretty mad. Then this year, too, I shot it better, but I'm still not happy about the way I shoot it. But nonetheless, it's a lot of work. Like, during this offseason, put a lot of work in with Coach Shaw. He's, like, the free throw guy, free throw rehab. That's like he called him. And literally, like, 100 free throw. Sometimes it get too easy. Okay, don't touch the rim. No rim, just net, all switch. Mm-hmm. You know, just keep working on it, repeating. And I think that it's paying. It's not all the way there yet, but it's on the way. Just like my shooting, I've been working on my shooting since my freshman year. My freshman year, I played a lot, but I've been working on that since then. And obviously, I keep working on it. I'm working on it still, and I'm still gonna work on it, but I know I can be a good dribbler. Like I know I can be way better than I am right now, and I will be for sure. It's just a matter of timing when you're gonna click.
That's awesome to hear. Yeah, because I like the way. I mean, it looks good on film is the thing. So it's definitely on the right track, and it's exciting to see.
Yeah, and I know the work I put in definitely gonna pay on the shooting. It's gonna be working for sure.
That's awesome. That's great to hear. So the other big area, and I think the most surprising one to me, is I kind of did my film deep dive. So I saw you a couple times throughout the season, and then I just did my deep dive the other day where I'm watching, you know, 4 or 5 games of a guy. And it's what really blew me away was your passing is so much different. Like that was not really a part of your game at all a year ago. And now you're like orchestrating handoffs, you're finding cutters. You went from 0.5 assists per game to 1.9 per game. You had an assist rate of 14, which grades out exceptionally well compared to like other big men, like other NBA players that had that kind of assist rate in college. You're looking at guys like Jeremiah Robinson Earl, Wendell Carter, Brandon Clark, like guys who are regarded as really smart, sharp passers.
Yeah.
And you went from like a non-passer to kind of being in a tier with those guys. So what happened there? How did you kind of make that leap as a passer?
Honestly, just having the ball more. And
okay.
Coach Smith putting me in the position to make decisions. Because I was always a great passer, but I was not. They didn't hand me the keys to that last year because we had Mike, Ty. We had a really guard-dominant team the first year. Then this year, Coach just stressed me to run the offense. So it was like, okay, I'm going to be patient, find the right read, and find the open guy. And I think that was the biggest difference, just me having the ball more.
Mm-hmm. So you would say a lot of it is like comfort and everything too.
Yeah, it's definitely comfort. It's having the ball and comfort, like having the ball for sure, but then being comfortable, like, you know, not rush it and get used to it. Like the first time we run the offense in the preseason, I was not, you know, I was not used to it. I was always, I want to do this fast. I want to do this quick. Then it teaches me to take my time and see all the reads. I think being patient is one of the big things too, being patient. And honestly, after that, you just kind of roll with it. When the season's going on, you get kind of used to it. You know what your teammates going to do, the good they're going to do. You're going to who's going to be open, and it's just read at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. One thing I thought was interesting too is this is now the second year in a row that like not only, I mean, you obviously improved from your freshman season to your sophomore season, but you got better throughout the year, and like your in-conference stats were better than your stats at the start of the season, even though you're playing in the Pac-12. It's a really tough league. And this year had a lot of quality bigs in it too. Between like Infali Dante, who you mentioned, and then even guys like Vincent Iwachukwu and Adembona, like it's just a loaded conference on the big man front. What do you attribute that to? Is that just kind of the same thing, just getting more and more comfortable on the floor?
Yeah.
Or was there anything that clicked at all?
Yeah. Getting more comfortable and being like, and knowing like, oh, I can go out there and get a double-double every day, or I can get a bucket every day. Just being confident and more patient, I think that changed a lot of my game. And, you know, having the trust of the teammate and the coaches too, that changed a lot. So knowing that, okay, I can mess this up, but the coach trusts me to make the right pass in the next one or the right play on the next one. Either me passing the ball, shooting it, or just attacking. I know, like, oh, he trusts me to make that decision. So having that freedom in your mind, it opens up your game for sure.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. So the season is in the books. And now we're headed into the NBA draft. We are basically 2.5 weeks away by the time this comes out. What have you been focused on working on in your game the most as you head into the draft?
Definitely shooting, because that's the biggest question they have. Like, can he shoot and all that? And I think I improved it a lot, and I showed it on my workouts too. Mm-hmm. But honestly, just getting stronger too, my ball handling, just honestly, I'll work on my game overall every time. Just every time. Like, even the aspect people think I'm good at, I think I'm not good at there yet. I think I can get better. So I work on my game overall, everything, getting stronger, shooting the ball better, ball handling, just show the whole package, like they say.
Mm-hmm. And what do you like? What do you envision your role being in the NBA? Do you see yourself as a four, as a five, as sort of a hybrid 4-5? Like, what kind of role do you see yourself playing in the NBA?
It depends, because the league now, I mean, even the five is the point guard.
Yeah,
don't have your position. So that's why I don't want to say, oh, I want to play this or that.
Mm-hmm.
I just think I can play a lot of position, if not every position,
mm-hmm.
Every position. I think I can play pretty much every position if I was in the league right now, because it's different. It's mm-hmm. not like, oh, he a four, he only can play four.
Yeah.
Or he a five, he only can play five. I think I can bring the, you know, how mobile I am and how I move my feet and how I play defense. I think that'll make me able to play multiple positions.
For sure. I would definitely agree with that. And like, to your point, I mean, look at the NBA Finals we have right now. It's Nikola Jokic, who runs the offense as a center. It's Jimmy Butler, who's the size of a wing, but can guard bigger players and also run the offense. Like, it's a new era. It's positionless basketball, and you kind of fit where the league is going with your shooting and your movement, and your defense. And really, really exciting player. I'm so glad that you took the time to join us. We're glad that you were able to come on the show. Where can people find you on social media if they want to continue to follow your journey as you take those next steps and move on to the NBA?
Yeah, they can find me on Instagram, Rasul Muhammad, Rasul Gay. If you put Rasul Gay, you'll see me. I'm also on Snap, Rasul Gay 12. And I'm on Twitter too, Rasul Gay. But I'm more of a watcher on Twitter. I like watching people.
Sounds good. Yeah. Sounds good. Well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I say I don't be posting it. I just be watching Twitter.
Sounds good. Well, yeah, I'll make sure that no one on our site says anything bad about you, because they'll know that you're going to see it. Yeah. You can go after them. But we appreciate you so much for taking the time, man. We're wishing you the best luck in your pre-draft process. So everyone, go give Mo a follow. If you haven't watched his film, go check it out. He's a really, really intriguing prospect here. Make sure you're subscribed to our YouTube channel here. Make sure you're subscribed to our Substack at NoCeilingsNBA.com, as well as the No Ceilings NBA podcast feed. I'm Maxwell Baumbach. Thank you for joining us.
Welcome to a special YouTube edition of Draft Deeper. My name is Nathan Grubel, and I'm here with a very special guest. You would know him as point guard for the Wichita State this past season, but certainly one of my favorite potential two-way prospects in this draft class. I'm writing words about him as one of my guys on NoCeilingsNBA.com. Make sure you check that out when it drops. But Craig Porter Jr. is in the house with me. Craig, how you doing, my man?
Doing pretty good. Couldn't be more blessed.
Absolutely. So Craig is certainly one of the hardest workers in this draft class. I know that because he has certainly emerged on the radar as someone who's doing a lot of team workouts these days, right? What are the NBA teams you've worked out with so far?
I've had the Dallas Mavericks, Golden State, Boston, Detroit, and just finished up the Magic yesterday.
Those are a lot of good organizations on that list, huh? A lot of smart organizations. So that says a lot. If they're interested in bringing you in for a workout, that means you should be on some more teams' radars here. So, Craig, we're going to get into plenty of what you do on the basketball court, but I just want to start off with some light stuff to let people get to know you. So, Craig Porter Jr., we'll get into who you are on the court, but off the court, what are some of the favorite things you like to do? Who are you hanging out with? Like, who is Craig Porter Jr. off the court as much as he is on the court?
Really, I mean, outside of basketball, I'm really just chilling in the house. I mean, watching movies, playing my game, spending time with families, a lot of what I do. Even when I was up in Wichita, my mom, she moved out there with me for the last 2 years. So, I mean, really just spending a lot of time with her is what I did in my off time.
Okay, what kind of games you playing?
Call of Duty, 2K, Fortnite, okay. any and everything. So
love playing 2K. I love playing Call of Duty as well. That's a big game where my friends and I stay in touch throughout the week. Unfortunately, I'm not the best anymore as I once was, so I tend to rage quit sometimes, and so my friends got to hold me accountable on that one. But Call of Duty is a great game for sure. You listen to a lot of music?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I got a wide variety. I mean, anywhere from R&B to rap. I mean, I listen to it all, honestly.
Okay. I'm a hip hop and R&B guy myself. Who are some of your favorite artists to listen to?
Probably just the mainstreams, Lil Durk, Lil Baby, a bunch of those. Those and Future. Future's probably one of my top ones.
Oh, Future has to be up there, yeah. Right? That man makes music for everything, especially when you're getting ready pregame. Come on, you gotta have the hype songs going from Future for sure. Okay, so you started your playing career outside of D1 college basketball, right? Like when people are evaluating prospects for the NBA draft and they go to look at some of the background information, they're used to finding, you know, this is a top X recruit who's going to Kentucky or Duke or Alabama or whatever the case may be. But you actually grinded your way up to D1 basketball and you ultimately got to play for Wichita State. So what is that grind like for people who are unaware of what it actually takes to start where you started and get to where you were to be in this position? What does that work like? Like, how much goes into that?
I mean, it's a lot different taking the JUCO route. I mean, even when I first had got there, I didn't play right away. I didn't get what I thought I was going to get. So, I mean, really just having to work into a role and work into a position to help your team. I mean, you kind of start to understand that the process is bigger than just you. You got to figure out a way to get onto the court and then stay on the court. So, really just working hard and finding a way to where your place is going to be on that team. And really, I mean, there was times where we had practices for 5 and 6 hours a day. We were missing meals. So really, it's a different type of grind. There's almost no rules in JUCO. So, I mean, it's really, like I said, a different type of grind, honestly.
Going through all of that, though, doesn't that sort of give you a greater belief in yourself? Like, if I can overcome some of these challenges to make it to where I am now, why can't I overcome even more challenges and really get to where I want to be and fulfill my dreams? You get that sense of accomplishment going through that?
Yeah, definitely. Even with a lot of people who knew my coach at my junior college, they kind of told me anything you deal with him, if you can get through it, you can deal with anybody. So, I mean, really just having that mindset just kind of led me to where I am today. So,
absolutely. So your first year at Wichita State, you didn't have a large role on the team, but last year and now really this past year, that role completely reversed, right? You were the man on this team. You were the point guard, the leader. What was your experience like at Wichita State from start to finish? And why do you think you were ultimately able to take on that larger role that you did? Like, what goes into you actually becoming a leader on the team?
You know, it was kind of similar to junior college. I mean, my first year, I was kind of a role player who had some great guards and great players around me. So I didn't really have to do too much of leading. I really just was filling in a role. But going into my second year of junior college, I had to be the lead guard. I had to take over the team and do a little bit of everything like I did these past 2 years at Wichita. So really, I mean, I feel like my coaches at Wichita State, they just kind of challenged me, were leaning on me a little bit more because, I mean, bringing in a lot of new guys, you kind of need a player and a coach to be, I mean, almost best friends and just kind of take over the team and get guys to do the right things and get guys to trust you and just kind of building that trust amongst everybody to have that one common goal, I would say. And I mean, the challenge, it was definitely difficult at times, but I mean, I feel like me and my coaches, we did the best that we could. And I mean, it worked out for all of us.
Absolutely. I love that answer because as a point guard, you have to be not only a leader in terms of how you yourself are motivating your teammates, but you really have to be like an extension of the coach on the court, right? So if you're able to embody the message that he's bringing to the table and you're able to convey that to your teammates and get all of them to buy in, I mean, that speaks volumes to not only what you can accomplish at college, but potentially at the NBA level. So getting into more of your game, how would you classify yourself as a player? Like, what do you feel like are your strengths and what you're really bringing to the table on the court?
Honestly, really a little bit of everything. Being able to defend multiple positions, being able to block shots, read passing lanes, stuff like that. Playmaking, obviously. I could definitely improve on my shooting, but I mean, even still, I feel like I'm a pretty good shooter. Just need to be a little bit more aggressive. But really, I mean, a little bit of everything is what I can do. And I mean, I feel like I've showcased that everywhere I've been. So
you have. And I'm glad that you started with defense because that's what I would write in your scouting reports in all capital letters and multiple exclamation points after that. Right. So that I've interviewed some players before and I talked to them about their defense and what really stands out. But the thing I always want to start with on defense is that mentality, that doesn't come from nowhere. Like, to actually, you know, every single minute of the game, you're keeping up with somebody, you're constantly reading, you're keeping your head on a swivel. You know, that ability, that mentality to buy into that side of the court each and every single possession, where does that come from you?
Really, I mean, I would say even before junior college, really when I was in about middle school, one of my AAU coaches I had played with, he was a really defensive-minded coach, and he kind of just conveyed that message to me because I was a lot smaller at that time. Mm-hmm. So really, he was just telling me, I mean, if you can be good at defense at this point in your career, I mean, it'll carry over and you won't have to worry about it going down the line. So, I mean, I really feel like I could give a lot of credit to him and how he just pushed me to be better at defense and just worked with me on different little things. And then as the years got over and kept going and I got a lot bigger, stronger, and just a better understanding of the game, I mean, it kind of just came naturally to me, and it was something that I just took a lot of pride in.
Absolutely. And you could certainly tell that. I mean, when you're watching the tape, I mean, your effort level, how you're everywhere at the same time, it's really impressive from a guard as well. And it's not just the steals. You know, your block rate for a guard, it's freaking ridiculous. Like, if we go through some of the stats, you have, I wrote this down specifically, at 5 block percentage. Normally, that's like a number that's reserved for like wings and forwards and players who are certainly bigger in stature than you. But that mentality, that aggressiveness and going up to block shots, like, is that one of your favorite things to do on the basketball court? Like, take something away from somebody else?
Yeah, it's definitely something I like doing a lot. Really, it's a lot easier for me, I feel like, because a lot of times people don't expect me to do it. So really, I feel like that's why I catch people off guard a lot of times. But, I mean, even just talking to a lot of my former opponents, I mean, they just tell me a lot of times their scouting report was anytime you see him, just pump fake him. So, I mean, even just hearing that, it was kind of fun to hear that. So,
absolutely. That becoming better as a defensive playmaker, is that more so you just continuing to play the game and you just keep getting reps and you just keep adjusting to the speeds and everyone else? Is that how much you put into reading other scouting reports or watching film back? Like, how have you steadily improved in that? Where would you say you attribute most to making those improvements in your game?
Really, like you said, just watching a lot of film, just understanding the tendencies of other people and just really just getting a good feel for the game. I mean, as I've been playing basketball for almost, 15 or more years, I mean, I've kind of played against everybody who can do almost anything I could expect. So really just understanding and getting a good feel for what people do and just trying to anticipate and get ahead of what they would do before they do it.
Absolutely. So playing defense, I always say that it's more than just your physical characteristics, your size, your length. It really is about your heart and how much you want to buy into playing on that side of the floor. Would you ultimately agree with that statement when you look around at some of your other peers and how the game's evolved and changed? And, you know, we want to look at different positions and say, oh, you're too small, or you can't do this, or you can't do that. But especially on defense, I really buy into it. It's more about what you want to do on that side of the ball and how much you're buying it. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I mean, it's really everything you just hit on. I mean, if you got the heart to do it, it's almost anybody I feel like I could guard and stop. I mean, if you put me up against anybody, honestly, I feel like I can get a stop or a block on them. So, I mean, it's really, like you said, that heart.
I love that answer. Hey, you went there, not me. How many positions do you think you can guard in the NBA?
I say 3 or 4. I ain't gonna say all 5. Some of them dudes just be a little too tall.
You have to be a special player to guard all 5 positions. I don't throw that around lightly. But yeah, listen. I think you can actually keep up with certainly ones and twos, but I think you can guard some threes at the NBA level. And that versatility, your awareness, your ability to quarterback a defense from the perimeter, That's going to carry over no matter where you go, and that's going to be something that NBA teams would certainly want to buy into with you. Offensively, your game really took off this past year, scoring out of pick and roll sets, right? That was your most used play type per synergy. That was where you operated the best. How have you been able to develop that feel in pick and roll? Because it's not just being able to make a jump shot or make a layup. It's the cadence and the timing that goes along with playing out of pick and roll. How have you been able to develop that throughout your career?
Really throughout high school, that was a lot more of how I played. And then really, I'd say I give a lot of credit to my junior college again. Really a lot of those hours and practices, we did a lot of ball screen works, and a lot of the sets we ran were putting me in ball screens and coming off and making those different decisions. So really just getting all those reps throughout these years and really just getting an understanding of how different defenses move and just reading different positions and just seeing how different people guard different things, and also a lot of film. I mean, really just getting a better understanding of games, just game speed decisions, and really things like that just helped me get a better understanding of how I could make it more effective for me to score or distribute the ball or really just do different things like that.
Absolutely. Distributing the ball out of that set is certainly important, right? So when you get up to the NBA level, a lot of what teams want to do, they want to run a lot of spread pick and roll, right? So have you made an emphasis in your pre-draft workouts and in becoming a better distributor out of those play types as well as a scorer?
Yeah, definitely. Really, a lot of my workouts have been a bunch of shooting and just really, like you said, this decision making and distributing the ball and just making sure I get the right decisions when they come and just working at that at game speed. And it's definitely improving a lot.
Absolutely. And when we talk about shooting, I know you said it is something you want to improve on. But what I love about your shooting and your scoring attack is that you create a lot of your own shots. Right. So there's some players that we will look at that are more geared towards being, you know, role players or bench guys or whatever the case may be, where they're not able to create their own shot like you can. Their assist rate on their 3-point makes will be incredibly high. Your assist rate on a lot of your makes, regardless of play type or area on the floor, it's usually underneath about 30%, which that to me says it's not just something that you can do. You're very comfortable doing that. What has gone into your improvement as a shot maker in terms of you being able to set other guys up, you know, being able to jerk them out of their position and ultimately set yourself up for those types of isolation looks or one-on-one looks? Where does that comfort level come from? How's that developed?
Really, a lot of it's come to me just naturally over the last 2 years, and also just working with my coaches at Wichita State. Really, Coach Brown, he just really just gave me the ball, and he was relying on me in a lot of different aspects. I mean, especially this last year, really just needing me to be the focal point of our offense and really just kind of take over for us. And I mean, over time, it just got even better and better as he trusted me, and I just worked at little things, and he kind of gave me a lot of pointers on how I could be effective in that. And then really just watching a lot of YouTube over some pro guys like the Derrick Roses, the Kyrie Irvings, a lot of old tape of them. So, I mean, really just seeing how they play and stealing a lot of moves from them and meaning it. And it's all, like I said, been paying off for me.
Who are a lot of the guys? You mentioned a few. You mentioned Derrick Rose, Kyrie Irving. Who are a lot of the guys that you like to watch film of to really take something from their games?
Actually, I watch, honestly, a lot of Rajon Rondo, a lot of his old highlights. So, I mean, that's really who
tell.
I feel like that game, how he plays is honestly just how identical to how I am. So
your hesitations, your pacing, how you're able to throw guys off to get to your spots. You love going to that floater in the lane. And when you can make it all the way to the rim, you're not afraid to jam it home on some guys either. I love that. Is that an underrated part of your game? Maybe something you'd like to show a little bit more, that you got some ups that you can dunk at home?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, even in a lot of my pre-draft workouts, a lot of teams have been surprised at my athleticism, and I mean, it's impressed them. So, I mean, really just like you said, I mean, I'm not afraid to throw it down on somebody. I mean, it's my athleticism is a part of my game, and it's not just something I show on defense. So
you have to, absolutely. And then what goes into shooting as well, it's not just being able to shoot on the ball, but your catch-and-shoot game also really rates out incredibly well amongst your peers. Does that make you confident that you can play alongside another ball dominant guard in the backcourt, like a Terry Rozier is a good example to use in that type of role? Do you feel like you can play alongside another point guard at the NBA level as well?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, even like situations like that, I feel like the last year or two, I haven't really been able to play that off ball role too much because my team kind of relies on me to run the offense so much. But really my first year or two of junior college, I mean, that's kind of what my role was. I was more of a spot up shooter and a defensive player. So really, I mean, I got a good understanding of how that role is played before I really got to be the man of a team. So, I mean, it just gave me a better understanding of how the real professional career would be.
Absolutely. So have you been able to watch a lot of the playoffs recently?
Oh, yeah. I've been watching almost every game.
I love it. So have I. You kind of have to, right, to keep studying and make sure you're up and aware on what's going on and what's working at the NBA level. And what's working at the NBA level for the Miami Heat, there's a guy named Gabe Vincent, who once upon a time was an undrafted guard, and he worked his way up to now he's been playing one of the biggest roles for a team that's in the NBA Finals. And I look at Gabe Vincent's game and the types of things that he likes to do on the court. I think you can do a lot of those things, and that's why I've really started to buy into your trajectory and where you could end up in the NBA. Would you compare yourself to somebody like a Gabe Vincent?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like you said, he just does a lot of things that just compel to winning basketball. I mean, even if there's nights he's not scoring more than 10 points, I mean, there's nights where he's scoring 20, 25. I mean, it's really just his overall game. He's making plays for others. He's defending at a high level, and he's really just impacting the game all over and being that second leader for Jimmy Butler when he may be off his game. So, really, he just finds ways to impact his team and winning. So,
absolutely. Is that the biggest thing that you're about? Not just how many points you're scoring or how many assists, or you just want to win the game at the end of the day?
Nah, yeah, I'm a winner at heart. I don't like losing at all. So yeah. I don't care if I score 0 points, zero. If we win, that's all that matters.
I can tell, and I always get that answer from guys who want to play defense first. Like, you don't go out there and guard guys and run that side of the court like you do and you know, can embrace losing, right? You don't want anyone to score anything on you at any time. And I love talking to players like that because I feel like that's important. And the players who I've seen succeed at the highest level in the NBA and or become the best versions of themselves, even if that's not a star level player, but the best versions of themselves, that's really what it comes down to, is who they are as a person and what they're really embracing, bringing to the team from a locker room standpoint, not just the skill level on the court or how big they are or how fast they are. That's the type of player I feel can succeed in the locker room. And I love it, man. I'm continuing to buy into you, Craig. So what would you like NBA teams to know about you that they may not have already picked up on already in this interview, right? Like, what is your message to an organization considering drafting or signing you?
Really, even with a lot of the pre-draft workouts and interviews I've had, a lot of teams are kind of picking up on what I've been saying about just how I can fit into almost any role that I'm thrown into. I mean, kind of like the Gabe Vincents you said, and really, I mean, that whole Miami roster, I mean, besides Jimmy Butler's, trying to just fit into that undrafted or underrated type of player who just can really do almost anything to get on the court, and they know what it takes to win, and really they're just bought in offensively and defensively. So I mean, it's just really just like you said, I mean, just understanding what you need to do to get on the court and really just doing whatever it takes to win is what I'd say.
Absolutely, Craig. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to sit down with me. Good luck to you in the rest of your journey, and hopefully we can meet again when you're rocking an NBA jersey, and I'll be sitting down interviewing you about what your career's looking like. All right?
Yes, sir. That sounds like a plan.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Craig. And thank you everyone out there watching this interview on YouTube. If you aren't subscribed to No Ceilings on YouTube, make sure you do so. You can follow me on Twitter at DraftDeeper. You can make sure you're following the collective at No Ceilings NBA on social media to get more updates about these types of interviews, everything else we have going on. And last but not least, the Substack, NoCeilingsNBA.com. Monday through Friday, even some Sundays, we're publishing content about the NBA draft. Make sure you're locked in. Stay tuned for more.